Say praise the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you praise, Lord, this morning. Father, for you're ever with us. The long this journey that we're on, Lord. Lord, you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, you never have. There may be times, Lord, when we get to feeling alone. Lord, it's not because that you're not there. It's just our human feelings sometimes, Lord, and we know we can't go by our feelings. Lord, Brother Branham said it's when we need to be certain of God. Lord, we ask you to be with us in this service, Lord, as you have been. Lord, and lead us through your word this morning, dear God, to be a help and a strength and beneficiary to the people this morning, we pray, and amen. Amen. I'd like to read from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. And I'd like to title this message this morning, Be Strong and of a Good Courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, Deuteronomy 31. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which God hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doeth go before you, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You may be seated. Amen. The journey that Israel took had three stages. There was a process of getting them ready to inherit the promise. They went through a process. And the three stages are just like the three, it was typed. It's just like the three stages that a Christian goes through of being justified by faith, being sanctified by the blood, and then being sealed by the Holy Spirit. So there was three stages they went through. And on this journey, and there's three stages that we go through on our journey. And the thing was that they had come through two stages, and they believed in the two stages. But when it come down to go for the third stage, in other words, to go over into the promised land, well, that's where they couldn't go any further. They stopped there. And that's where if a person who's professing to be a Christian, if they come and through justification and sanctification and stop there, then they haven't completed their journey. They haven't completed the process. And if you don't complete the process, then they won't stay. There's nothing to hold them. They've got nothing to keep them. They got nothing to keep them from going back out to the world. That's what you see people that they go from one revival to the next. Every revival, they're getting saved. And, and then when the revival's over, why, some time passes, and before you know it, they're right back out in the world again until the next revival. They never go past the second stage. They never go on into the holies of holies. They stay out there in the outer court, and it's glorious out there in the outer court. And they're eating of the manna of God. But as I've said before, the manna out there spoils. It doesn't last. But there's a golden omer in the holies of holies, a golden pot. And in there is the manna that was collected on the first day, and it never does spoil. And that is the type of the word of God. And that it is eternal. And I'm not talking about the Bible. The Bible is not eternal, but the Word of God, which we call the Bible the Word of God, which it is, but it's the word in letter form only. But the Bible tells us that we are written epistles read of all men. So we are the word made flesh again. Jesus Christ was the word. He's eternal. God's the word. He's eternal. We become the word. We're eternal. So the word is eternal. There's a lot of denominations and churches that pack the Bible, but that doesn't mean anything. What do they follow? The word. And the word is Christ. And they, in Ephesians, I want to read Ephesians 4, 22. And it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we do, it's a process. And we've went through two steps. Many have went to the holies of holies and have been sealed in. That's wonderful. But I believe we've got people here this morning that hasn't made it there yet. They may be on their journey, but they haven't made the full, complete process yet. And you've got to complete that process to inherit the promise. Now, Moses spoke to Joshua and said, be strong and of a good courage. And then after the passing of Moses, then God speaks to Joshua. And he tells Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid or dismayed. So, here again, Joshua is being told to be strong and of a good courage. What would make us strong and of a good courage? What helps us to be strong and of a good courage? It's knowing where we stand. If you know where you stand in the Word, then you can be strong and of a good courage. The journey they were on was a journey of mercy. Moses came out following the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, and he was on his road. They weren't at the promised land yet, but they were on their road there. And the blood of Jesus Christ, once shed, it cleanses until the day of redemption, the Bible tells us. All the way through, perfected through the sanctifying process of the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ. The believers anchored until the day of redemption. There's no wavering to and fro, back and forth, and that doesn't mean that the devil doesn't bother you. It doesn't mean that, friends, as long as we're in this flesh body, we're going to battle the devil. Because the devil's got an end with us. He can affect this body, and he can affect your human spirit. But the one thing he can't take is the soul, which is anchored in the Word. If that soul is anchored beyond the veil into the holies of holies, then you're sealed, you're anchored until the day of redemption. As Ephesians 4 and 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed to the day of your redemption. Now, you may sin, but if you sin, we've got an advocate with the Father. We've got somebody who took our place. And if you sin, you've got an advocate. Tell God you're sorry and come back. Don't think you're cast off forever. If you've got as long as you've got enough desire to come to church, come. God's still with you. Amen. Just repent of whatever it is. Put it before God. Repent and go on. See, Satan wouldn't want you to think, why you've you've done this or that, and so now it's over. You just went too far. If you still got a desire to serve God, you haven't went too far. Come on, no matter what you've done, God still wants to forgive you and take you back. He wants to love you, take you up to his bosom, hug you up real tight, give you some spiritual vitamins, and love you a little bit, put you back in church, put you back in your position. Now, there's a lot of people that they get stuck in the process of conversion. And, you know, being justified, being called, is one step of the process. Being sanctified, it's another step of the process. You're clean, set aside for service. But then you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then it's complete. Then you're sealed into the kingdom of God. And before that, you're just on your road to your destination. But you've got to be filled. And then when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, then he recognizes that and seals you into the day of your redemption. There's a vast difference between being a Christian and being a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. There's a lot of people who profess to be a Christian, and they've come, like I said, through a couple of steps of the process. And they're professing Christianity. And they're a Christian. They're believing. They're on the road. But they've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Abraham was a type of the Christian coming, a believer. He left the land where he was from. He left the family where he was from, he left the friends where he was from, he left those people, and he went to sojourning, not knowing perhaps where he was going, but he was following God. And that's the type, when God calls a man to stop his meanness and repent of his sins, he turns him from the crowd he was in to live with a new crowd among a new type of people. So you can't live around, you can't, if God has brought you in, you can't go back out and run with your drinking buddies. You got to change crowds. Oh, say I'll win them. No, you won't. You can't win them by doing what they're doing. You say, well, they're my friends. It's like I told my brother when he first came to the Lord, dedicated his life to the Lord as a young man. And he spoke about his friends, and I said, you just think they're your friends. I said, but I'll tell you what you do. If you really believe they're your friends and you're their friend, then you'd want to see them, what happened to you, happen to them. So you go, when the next time you see him, you share with them what happened to you and see just how long they remain your friends. Many times they'll say, well, that's good for you, but not for me. That's not for me. I'm thankful you change, but that's not for me. I'm not religious. You'll find out how quick they're your friends. Anybody that wants to drag you down is not your friend. Anybody that wants to drag you in the same pit that God took you out of is not your friend. You say, what do I do? I'm going to be blunt about this. You cut them off. You can't, the Bible says light cannot have fellowship with darkness. You want to win them? You win them by just seeing how close you can get to God. When they say, what happened? You say, well, I'm not the person I used to be. Something's changed me. Say, Brother Jerry, I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost yet. That's all right. You're still on the journey. You're still on the journey to your destination. You're still in the process. Claim what you got. Claim what you got. When I first started preaching, the Lord first called me. I knew that He spoke to me, that He called me to preach. I had no idea what to preach. Somebody told me, just tell how your fire got lit. And that's how I started. Just tell how your fire got lit. And that's what you need to do. Just tell how your fire got lit. You're on your road. When God found Abraham faithful, then He gave him a sign, a seal of circumcision. And Stephen is further explained that to the New Testament believer, saying that those that were going to stone him said, you're uncircumcised of heart. So it's a spiritual thing today, not natural. It's a spiritual sign. It's being circumcised of heart, which means having the world cut off, having the things of the world cut off, cutting off the people of the world. Oh, say, well, Jesus ate with sinners. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about don't run with the same old crowds you used to run with when you weren't living right. You can be a light. You can be a light where you work, around your coworkers. You can be a light wherever you're at in the city. Say, well, I've got friends that's not Christians. Well, that may be true. Sometimes we have acquaintances, more or less. We know them, they know us. But really, when you get down to it, you're not really friends. My grandson, Michael, he thinks once he introduces himself to somebody, they're his friend. That's not the case. Just because you told them your name and asked them their name, that don't make them your friend. So, you know, I know people down at the bank, and they know me. They know me over at Sonic. They know me by name out the interstate out there. The manager greets me by name, you know. But that don't mean that me and him's going to go hang out. Sometimes I think about the boys I used to run with when I was in the military, when I was in the Army. And I think about the things we've done together, and I think about how I am today, and I wonder how they're doing today. What's happened to them? You know, I'm talking back when I was in my mid to late 20s. Now I'm a grandpa. So if I am, then perhaps they are too by now. And I wonder what they're doing. Are they still doing and living the same way they were living? But I wouldn't want to go back and begin to fellowship with any of them. Because if they're living the same way that we used to live, I don't have nothing in common with them anymore. When you don't have nothing in common with somebody, you will grow apart. We're familiar with the scripture of Ephesians 4 and 30. I quoted it just a little while ago. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed until the day of redemption. And Paul goes on to say in the next couple of verses, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So what Paul is talking about, even though you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God to the day of redemption, you still got to deal with this flesh. And this flesh can still feel bitterness. This human spirit we got can feel bitterness, can feel anger and wrath, and, you know, and clamor, evil speaking, malice, and hold grudges. You got to put all that off from you, is what Paul's saying. In other words, you die to that. Die to the flesh every day. There was times when I was going through something with somebody and my flesh was getting pretty tired of it. And I was getting weary in my spirit. And I got down and I thought, well, I'm just going to ask God to do something to him. Yeah. And I got down on my knees and went to praying, and I couldn't do it. Something took over. All I asked God to do was don't let them be blessed. Make them miserable so that they'll come back to you. Don't let them sleep. Let them be miserable. Let them feel lonely. But now you can probably guess who that was. The blood atonement makes an exception for us at the cross. The blood makes an exception for us at the cross. It's a cleansing process. Brother Branham called it a cleansing process of constantly. In other words, it ain't just one revival, but it's a process of cleansing constantly. It doesn't stop when you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. Because like I said, we've still got to contend with this human flesh and this human spirit. So that cleansing process doesn't stop. It continuously goes on. Jesus is just not our advocate for one time, but once and for all. He's always your advocate. So he's ever living, ever present, ever making intercession for you. And that by the blood that was shed at the cross, your sin doesn't even come up before God. Of course, we know Satan's accuser of the brethren. And we know by the book of Job, Satan sometimes comes up before God and points out different things. And God will point out things to him too. But Satan will come up to try to accuse you. You see, Jesus' blood stands there. And that's what you're cleansed by. And it's a constant cleansing. It's a cleansing process that God takes his church through. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever thirsts shall be filled. Shall find drink. Whosoever hungers shall be filled. God is known by an experience of the Holy Ghost. That's how you know God. You don't know God by going to church or Sunday school and just learning about God. That's great. That's nice for the children, the little kids. That's great that you're teaching them things about God, because, friends, when they're little, you are their protection. You are the thing that holds them. You are, as the prophet said, you are their Holy Ghost. You are God in flesh to them. Like the little boy, you know, that was afraid of the lightning and things. And his mommy told him, said, well, you know, God's here to protect you. And he said, well, I'd like to have a God with some skin on him. He wanted his mommy to stay with him so he wouldn't be afraid. Pentecost is an experience, not an organization. And you must be born again. Brother Ram says, now to approach this birth, you have to go through a process. Just like anything that lives got to die first. And you cannot keep your same spirit. You cannot keep your same habits. You cannot keep your same thoughts. You got to die. You've got to die like Jesus died. You've got to die on his altar. Like Abel did with his lamb, you got to die with your lamb. You've got to die to your own thinking to be born to his thinking. I've raised ducks. And I know about chickens. I haven't never raised any personally myself, but I've been around them and I know about chickens and that, but I've raised ducks. And ducks, when they're little ducklings, and you first put them around water, you don't have to really introduce them to the water. Once they get a smell of that water, they'll run right into that water. They'll run right in there, jump right on in, dive down under the water. It's cute to watch them little yellow feathered things, you know. They'll dive down under the water, take a dive, come back up, swim on top. You don't got to teach them that stuff. You don't got to introduce them to the water, you know, take them over there and, you know, just kind of like coat. You don't got to do that. Just put the water where they can smell it, and they'll go right to it. Brother Branham says, look, if you're on your journey and you've caught a whiff of heaven today, then just smell the water, he said. And keep on going, go head straight for it. If you can smell it, head straight for it. Go through the process. Amen. Repent from the bottom of your heart. Lay yourself on the sacrifice, as a sacrifice on the altar. Let the world be consumed. Go through the right process. Be born again of the Spirit. Not come shake hands with the preacher. Put your name on the book. But die so dead till you don't even know the world no more. When you're in the world, you like the things of the world. When you're in the world, if you drink, somebody asked, do you like drinking? You'd say, yes, I do. Once God has come and cleansed you from that, then that's not a desire anymore. Oh, say, I'll never be tempted. Sure, you'll be tempted. Because you got a memory. Somebody get around me and start talking about German beer. I got a memory of it. I know what it tastes like. I know what it smells like. That memory's there. But I don't got a desire. I don't want nothing to do with that. The devil will bring things back to your memory. That don't mean that you got a desire for it. I'll tell you what. The Bible says, putting off the old man, dying out to the old man to put on the new man. You take Aaron that had a dead stick, and they brought it into the holies of holies, and that dead stick came alive and bore almonds. You take a dead life and bring them under the Holy Ghost seal, and you'll see them come to life. A new life will begin. It'll be changed. Watch them straighten up. Old dead lives, people look at others, sometimes people look and judge other people and say, oh, well, there's nothing could ever help them. Well, I'll tell you what, you bring them into the holies of holies and you'll see something change. After you come to God, there is a testing time. The Bible says that every child must be tested to see if they can stand chastisement. Not tested to see if they'll be mistake free. Because as long as you're in this body, you're not going to be mistake free. But tested to see if you can take correction. So when you make a mistake, you can take correction to get right. And everyone that can take correction, sons and daughters of God, they're children of God. The Bible says those that can't take correction, they're bastards. They're not children of God if they can't take correction. I've seen people decide to up and leave this church because they couldn't take correction. And instead of them going to the next church and saying, well, the reason I left is because I didn't like what they had to say about me. I didn't want to take correction. Instead of that, they make up some other lie, something about the church, something about the people, something about the preacher. That's the reason I had to leave. And the next thing you know it, they're divorced, married again, and living out in the world. Oh, well, my goodness sakes, you mean that I caused that? That is not what I came here for. You mean this church caused them to do that? Or was it the next church they went to that caused them to do it? No, it was in their heart all along. Had a man come to me one time, and he said, Brother Jerry, said, Brother Bram said I could put my wife away. Said she's doing certain things, and she ain't accepting my headship, and Brother Bram said I could put her away. I got on the computer, pull that up exactly where he was talking about, and I said, Danny says you cannot marry again. Whoa, didn't want to hear that. That brought that conversation to a screeching halt. Because turns out that's what it was all about. He wanted to trade in the old model, you know. That's what it really was all about. And later on he did. He left here, went somewhere else, left there, and finally traded in the old model and got him a new one. A younger one. Well, couldn't take correction. That's what we got on that at. You see, they never got sealed. They might have come in and worshiped with us. They might have got, you know, they were called to come in and worship with us. They might have even got cleaned up. Fellowship with you. Then, you know, say, well, you say, what happened over here? Why'd you go do that? Oh, the devil made me do that. No, the devil couldn't. If you were where you should be, the devil couldn't get to you. They had to go out to the devil. What it was, they came up to the borderline, just like those children of Israel that came to Kadesh Barnea, and those spies that went over there and came back and said, we can't do it. The land is too great. It eats up the inhabitants thereof. They said, it's too much. We can't do it. We can't take it. They come up to the borderline. They were borderline believers. What happened was with these folks that come in, fellowship with you, and then the next thing you know, they're out in the world. They come through a process, but they come to the borderline and stop there. They come to the borderline of crossing on over into the promised land, which is the type of the Holy Spirit today. They come up there and then went back out lusting for the things of the world. The devil can't get to you. Be strong and have a good courage, because the devil can't get to you. If you're sealed in, if you're, because brother and sister, he would have to get saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost to get to you. And then he'd be your brother. And you know that ain't never going to happen. So the devil can't get to you. He can't come through that. Now, there is a that process we were talking about you go through as a believer. There's also a process you go through when we go to get the body change. What's the body made out of? It's made out of some petroleum, some potash, some cosmic light, some atoms. It's made out of, actually, it's 16 different elements that make up this body. And, you know, this body, even though that it's in the curse, this body is still made, it still has a sign to tell you this body was made to live forever. When you cut your finger or your hand or whatever, what happens? It heals up. Oh, you might have to, you know, clean up the wound a little bit or whatever, you know, put a Band-Aid on it or whatever, you know, to keep dirt out of it and that. But there is a self-healing process the body goes through, and that cut heals up on its own. Oh, if it's deep enough, they might have to put some stitches in it to pull it back together so it don't scar real bad, you know. Otherwise, it'll heal back, but it'll be a scar there where it was. But it still has to heal on its own. The doctors can't do that. This body regenerates until it gets to be a certain age. Then the regeneration of its cells begin to slow down. That's where we're, then you're on your road. Eventually, time tarries, you'll die. Because that regeneration of the cells begins to slow down slower and slower and slower. That's why when many times an elderly person will fall and break a hip or something like that, and it just doesn't want to heal up, it's because they've reached a stage where the cells don't want to regenerate like they used to. But this body, the atoms are going to be set right one day, and it's going to change. And you know, Abraham and Sarah, they changed. They went back to being young again. But it was over a process of time that this began to happen to them. But the Bible says it will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But you're going through a process of it now. You're being changed from the inside out. Amen. He's working on the inside, working toward the outside, making a difference in my life. It's Jesus on the inside, working toward the outside. Hallelujah. And then we'll come back in a glorified state. It's like the developing of a picture. God took a picture of you when you were at that perfect state before the body had, the cells stopped regenerating, began to slow down before that. God took a picture of you, a snapshot, and it's being developed. And you're going back to that. Amen. Oh, my. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get to sitting around and I get to thinking. And I know there's some of y'all that's older than me here, like Brother Phil. He's 6 months older than me, so I tease him. But I know some of y'all older than me, but I get to sitting around sometime and I get to thinking about when I was young. And I look around and I see I'm not young no more. I'm getting old. And then I start thinking about my age, and I don't really get depressed by it. But I get to thinking about it, and I begin to understand things. I remember when my dad turned 60. And me and him went to go visit my grandmother, who was 80. She was 80, my dad was 60, and I was 40. And my dad was talking to me about turning 60, you know, when we was on our way over there. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, turning 40. He said, well, 40 ain't 60. And I said, no, but it ain't 20 either. You know, but we were just kind of talking about our age like that. And then we got over there and we kind of continued the conversation with my grandmother, you know. My grandmother, her 80 years old, she said, what I wouldn't give to be 60 again. I think about that when I get to think about age and things. I get to thinking about those things and thinking about that, because I've just got, well, me and Brother Phil just got a couple of years and we'll be 60. Less than a couple of years, I guess, now, but about a couple of years, and we'll be 60 ourselves. And I get to thinking about those things. My grandmother saying, I wish I was 60 again. So I, you know, there's a difference, amen. But we're looking forward to the time of when we can go back to being young again. When we have a glorified body, a body that can't be affected by Satan. Amen, a spirit that can't be affected by Satan. That's how he's going to be bound for 1,000 years. Because he won't be able to affect you. Right now, he still can't. I'm looking forward to that time when he can't. Get to torment him. Put him in torment for about 1,000 years. Because he can't do nothing. He's been tormenting me my whole life. Tormenting you. There's coming a time. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. We're thankful for your word, dear God. Lord, I think about us as a people here, congregation, Lord. Lord, we know where we're at. You know where each and every individual's at on this journey, on this process. I pray, dear God, encourage them by this morning, Lord, to be strong and of a good courage, to take courage. Lord, for you're there ever cleansing us, an ever living advocate. Lord, I pray, Father, that you will keep your word, which I know you always do. And you'll finish the good work that you've started in them. I pray, Lord God, for those that are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we still contend with this flesh. I pray, give us strength, dear God. Lord, I pray, Father, open up our eyes and understanding to know when it's this flesh and when it needs to be brought in subjection. Lord, let us be able to see our faults, Lord, so, Lord God, we can make corrections. Lord, bless your people, I pray today. We'd ever give you the praise and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.